24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A new way of radio and the beginning of a new talent. MoncoRadio.com, where music and minds meet.
Welcome, everybody, to Damage Radio, heard here live on MoncoRadio.com, where music reminds me. You know me, I'm RC, alongside Matt, the ultimate KISS fan porter, Arthur the Bullet Littman, and it's spring break here, man, but it's a packed house in this Damage Radio right here on MoncoRadio, man, and I'd like to welcome a very special guest. He's a very good friend of ours. It's Bay Ragney, a.k.a. Chubby Dudley, Totally Driven Entertainment and Totally Driven TV. You name it, he does it.
Oreo cookie guy.
You got an Oreo. He's your guy, man.
That's code name. Oreo cookie guy, right?
AKA Oreo cookie guy. The cream in the middle. You know
what that's it. It's all about the cream in the middle.
That's
baby.
Right, Daniel. Woo! And we're live here, today, man. Welcome back to Damage Radio, man. Great
hey,
to see
man.
You.
Thank you. Thank. You. I would love seeing all you guys all the time.
It's awesome,
it's
man.
It's good.
It's great, man.
It's
all
a
good
happy
stuff,
Monday
man.
Morning.
It is, man. So how's everything going since we last saw you?
You know what? It's March and it's good. February is a little crazy in life, but, you know, things changed around. My wife had surgery, situations with work and real life, you know, and it was just, like, complete insanity. And I actually put Totally Driven, like, on the complete back burner all through February. Like, I did nothing, which was weird because I actually had to, like, be that mature guy and step up and make sure everything was taken care of at home and usually that's not me. The old Bay would have been like, you know, like I got Totally Driven stuff to do. But I stepped up and did what I had to do. And, you know, March, things have turned around and people are better health-wise and work is situated and life is beautiful, man.
Doesn't that thank the man? Like, you know, and I got two kids and my wife's like, can't change one. I'm like, you got two hands. Come on. I got completely damage going on. I'm just kidding, Lance. Just kidding.
I couldn't imagine going through the whole, like, I see people. We were somewhere the other day having dinner, and kids were screaming, and I'm just like, oh, I couldn't imagine going through that whole, like, young child phase again. There ain't no way. Nikki 6 is out of his mind. He's 6 years old having a kid. Like, stop it.
Yeah, damaged.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, every time RC has a son, wakes up at him at 1 o'clock in the morning, and that's kind of annoying, and that's really damaged. Thanks, middle of the night.
They even went away this weekend, and you get your mindset. Like, you still wake up, like, thinking they're going to wake you up at that time.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You stay asleep.
I wish.
Draw those curtains. Those days are hard to find.
Stressed out.
You know,
man.
It's a cool thing, though. Like, my older daughter just turned 21 back in December.
Jeez, baby.
So
really?
We took her out to dinner, and she had her first legal cocktail. And she's not even a drinker. Like, drinking's the furthest thing from her mind. Like, she'll, like I like to have a cocktail or two each night. And she'll, like, I'll take a sip. And then she just, like, oh, no. But we took her out to this nice Italian restaurant, and she had a – she brought around a big sangria, and she drank the whole thing. And she was buzzing. She was buzzing really good. And we're driving home, and she's in the back seat. She's like, is this what Charlie Sheen feels like? I'm like, winning.
I'm off to a good start.
I'll drink to that.
Nice. Now, Liberty All-Star Wrestling, man. What's it like to be back in the wrestling world?
It's so weird. Imagine. Really is. Like, I had this discussion. I went to ECWA Chick Fight the other night. I was talking to some old friends, and it truly is the mafia where, you know, I was out of wrestling for so many years, and, you know, Frank Namoli, who's running Liberty All-Star Wrestling now, my old business partner, he asked me to come back in a commentating role late last year, and I was dead set against it. Like, I wanted no parts of it, and my partner in the commentary booth is Richie Blyweiss, who was doing with Ferran's show.
Sure.
And I've known Richie since he was a little kid. Like, when we first started promoting Liberty All-Star Wrestling in 94, his dad was our ring announcer, and Richie was our little ring coat guy. Like, he would take the ring coats to the ring back for the boys and all. So I've known Richie and his family for 20-plus years. So when Richie became the other guy, then Richie and Frank were both on me. Come on, come on, come on. And if it wasn't the fact that Richie was the other guy in the booth, I would never have done it. And that's just because A, I love Richie and I love the Bly Oasis to death. And B, like, I believe in him and I have confidence in him. I have, because I don't have confidence in myself to honestly do it. Like, I know Richie can do the play-by-play and I can be the funny guy. I can throw the one lines in. I can throw wrestling insight in. I can do this. I can do that. But I can't be the guy. I can be the B or the C guy. I can't be that A guy to do the play-by-play. So if it wasn't for Richie, I wouldn't be there.
All right. Now, Bullet, you got another question, right?
Bay, how is everything going on commentating at LAW?
Well, we did the one show so far, and it was cool. It was a lot of fun. We really had a lot of fun. We got the show coming up this Saturday, which the bad part is Richie can't do it.
So you are the guy.
No, actually, Frank got hold of the guy I used to use, you know, 15 years ago, MJ Wright. So MJ is going to be the guy, and I'm going to be MJ's fluff. Nice. So, but it'll be fun.
Nice, man. Now, who are some LAW superstars that you have your eye on that you think you can take to the next level?
You know what? There's a guy debuting this Saturday night, and he's facing the legendary Mr. Ooh La La.
Oh,
and his name is Andre Elegante, and he's the world's largest luchador. And Ooh La La kind of missed the memo that he's the world's largest luchador. He thinks he's like Rey Mysterio size. And when I saw the video, I was like, oh my God. Like, the guy is like, I think he's like 6'6", 6'8". He's huge. He's enormous. He looks like a cross between Elegante and Andre the Giant. So it's going to be really interesting to see this guy in Mr. Ooh La La.
You know, the funny thing is that I was watching a NASCAR race yesterday, and Rey Mysterio was there at Auto Club Super Speedway in California.
Nice.
He was there. I was watching the NASCAR race for the NASCAR Cup Series yesterday, and what happened was he was there. I didn't see that coming.
That was damage, man. It's awesome.
That was complete damage.
That's right. Now, you know, I remember you telling us stories about ECW days when you guys used to be in that hotel up to like 3 a.m. in the morning.
The Cylinder of Sin.
That's right. Now, I caught you on a couple of promos, actually, you know, inside doing when they were shooting promos there.
Yeah.
How's it like being back in front of the camera doing that stuff, man?
You know what? It's really opened up so much. Like, the whole, like, Chubby Dudley thing has, like, gotten a whole new rebirth where, you know, I did that one commentary show for LAW. And then he's got a bunch of shows coming up. So we got this Saturday, we got May 4th and April 13th, I think, are the three dates before the summer. And he's already got a few dates booked for the second half of the year. Thanks to you guys putting me on here, some other radio, wrestling radio podcasts and stuff I've been a guest on. And it's like taken over to where I'm now booked up in Rhode Island, New England Fan Fest in June.
That's awesome.
I just got booked 2 weeks ago down in West Virginia, end of the summer, which this is going to be fun. I'm booked to do a show where I'm managing, signing autographs and stuff like that. But it's at a Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, they're putting the fat guy in a restaurant. Like, how great is that?
Hopefully they're still closing.
So, I mean, it's like taking a whole nother a life to where there was something else I used to do, which I sat down last week and I talked it over. I actually talked it over with my therapist. I talk about this on my show all the time. I go see Shrink every week. I've been seeing her for like 6-7 years. It's totally like, if you watch The Sopranos, it's like watching Tony Soprano in his therapy session where I sit there and I just F-bomb up and down and curse and go off. And she like just like sometimes her eyes get wide and big. And then sometimes I'm thinking to myself, I can picture her out partying with me and my friends. Like, she's super cool. But like, you know, I was talking about, I used to do these motivational speeches and stuff and like life speeches. I used to do them down at Philadelphia Community College. And I've been getting people who were asking me through a website to do it again, and I turned them down. I just didn't think it was like right. So I was battling depression really bad over the years and stuff like that. And I think now is like the time where I can really intertwine stuff between the whole Chubby Dubby thing taking off and, you know, combining that with like a totally driven thing and winning. And it's just, I think I can do a really nice thing with all the three right now.
And you have a different mindset as far
totally.
As in the ECW days. I can only imagine what was going on.
Yeah,
you know,
I
looking
mean,
back, you know.
Yeah. I realize, you don't realize then, you know, between being 25, 26, 27 years old, you think you're a man of the world, an adult. You think you're this, you're that. You know, now that I'm going to be 49, it's like, man, I was such a kid then. Like, I really was a kid, and I realize that now. I mean, I had a lot of fun as that kid, but
can imagine.
Yeah, it was just it makes you realize years later. Yeah.
Now you had an opportunity to actually be a part of like a roast. A Rap Boy roast.
Oh my God!
Can you tell us some stuff about how that went? Because we all know Rap Boy and how he can be.
That was the funnest thing. So Brady Hicks from In the Room with Brady Hicks. He shoots me a message. He goes, "Yo, we're doing this Rap Boy roast, and Rap Boy asked if you want to be a part of it." I'm like, am I honored to be a part of this? and I was like, you know what? This will be fun. Like Rap Boy. I mean.
It's interesting.
He is. That's the way he just described. He's an interesting character, but the dude's been around. I mean, I've been involved with the business almost 30 years, and I've seen him almost 30 years, and he's supported wrestling.
Same shirt, pretty much, right?
Absolutely. Same shirt. That smell is damaged. Yeah. So it was me. It was Amy Lee. Bruce Wirt, who used to be from VOC Nation.
Worldwide.
Yep. Worldwide, yeah. But
Bruce, let's be friends.
Well, it was funny because Brady sent out a list of the dais with little tidbits about each person so you can roast them. And the first mistake they did was they made Amy Lee go first.
Okay. How can you...
Yeah. Thank God I was not second.
I know, right?
Because she came out, and we were messaging right before she went live, and I was like, you know, I literally sat down, I prepared like jokes, and I went around the room and like roasted everybody, and I had like three or four for Rap Boy, and I closed off and got off. She unloaded on Rap Boy, like I was cringing. It was like, you know, when you watch like the Bieber roast or something like that on Comedy Central, and you're like just cringing, like in pain, like oh my god. Poor Rat Boy. She destroyed him. And then I forget who the guy was.
Worse than like Martha Stewart roast?
Oh. it was violent. It was vicious.
You know my mother loves Martha Stewart.
she would not like Amy Lee though.
See, that's, you know, and she has such a fond spot in her heart because that was one of the very first times we ever went to Worldwide Wrestling Alliance. Like RC is really fresh, just getting started, and she comes up out of nowhere in character. Look, you little geek! And she is going berserk,
pencil necky.
And then when she finishes, like just basically cuts this promo, takes the mic, slams it back in your chest, and storms off. And it was magic. I always love that. I think it's one of the greatest moments.
My pants afterwards, right? But it was magic.
Because we didn't really plan it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dino had people lined up to kind of come join in the conversation. She came in, owned that spot, and then left.
Or how about the promo that you got when she kissed a little kid?
And he's crying, right? As she's leaving off her match, she looks over at this little kid, and she reaches down and kisses him. And he turns and puts his hand on his head, like,
it's so funny. God.
I love that.
Oh, my God.
Amy, like... You know, Amy came in, she destroyed, and nothing prepared, just off the cuff, and got off. And I turned around, and when it was I roasted Amy, I said...
keep going.
I turned around and said...
keep going.
Okay, so I turned around and I said, you know, years ago... We used to hang at the Philly Marriott, like after WWF shows and WCW shows. All the boys would go back to the Marriott. So we used to hang at the Marriott after the shows. And one night, Amy Lee, her drink was the Blue Hawaiian. She used to walk around with these chalices of blue drinks. And there was, I was like watching it. I watched it in slow motion, the way it happened. There was in the lobby this glass table. And I don't know what made her think she could sit on a glass table, but... I'm watching as she slowly, like her behind is slowly, going. And I'm like, no, stop. Damaged. Threw the thing. Her feet are up in the air, but she's still holding those drinks. Like, didn't spill a drink. So it is. But then at the end of the night, you know, after drinking quite a few rounds of those handfuls, she got in a fight with the old, New Jersey promoter Dennis Carluzzo out in the parking lot. And Amy knows karate. She ended up karate kicking him in the back of the head. In the parking lot. So I said, Amy Lee, the only person I know in the wrestling business can fall through a glass table, not spill her drinks, go out in the parking lot, kick a promoter in the back of the head. I said, and if you think I'm saying something bad, you're out of mind, because she will kick my boot.
And still get booked.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So now think, is there one thing that she said in the roast that you can repeat on regular radio? No, you can't, bro, right?
No.
No.
How about what did you roast? Is there anything you can repeat on the radio?
There was a guy on there, I think his name's Steve Anderson. He helped co-write Bobby Heenan's book with him. And I said to him, I said, look, Bobby Heenan drops dead. Steve Anderson's now stuck here doing the roast for Rap Boy. How the mighty have fallen.
You're talking about the late Bobby the Brain Heenan.
That's yes.
Correct. Yep. Now, Bullet, you got another question, right? Bay touched on it a little bit.
So, Bay, Saturday, March 23rd of this year, All-Star Wrestling returns to starts at 6:30 bell time. Can you please tell the Damage fans about this event, which is coming up?
Yeah, so we're Liberty All-Star Wrestling is making its big return this Saturday, 6:30 bell time, which I didn't even know. Thank you. That's an early show, which I love as we're getting older. So going back to the Briarcliff Firehouse, which that's kind of like their home turf. So they're going to be running there this Saturday. They're going to be going back there in May, and then I think twice in the second half of the year as well. And there's 7 matches on the show. And actually, I said to Frank yesterday, because we get together, and it's cool. He gets together like a month beforehand. We meet at the firehouse, and whoever's available gets there, and we film some promos and stuff like that. And so we film promos and all, and I sit there, and I make notes of what I need to know for that night and the matches. And so he calls me the other day. He goes, yeah, the matches have changed. I'm like, yeah. Card subject to change. I'm like, night I said, yo, shoot me an email with the matches this way I can plug them on tomorrow's show. And he sends them over to me, but he sends me like the finishes and all. I'm like, okay. And some of them I know like aren't like, you know, this is going to lead into this and like stuff's not actually now. So I'm like, yeah, okay. So
do you practice like the wrestling moves? Like, do you remember all the names of the wrestling moves?
Or, I don't. That's the hardest
part. I would be scared to death of.
That's the big reason why I didn't want to be that main guy, or I didn't want to do it at all, because, you know, the fact that I truly haven't watched wrestling up until recently for 15 years, you know, and a lot of the moves, you know, some are the same moves, but there's a lot of new moves out there, and there's all different, even the old moves have different names now. So, you know, I'm out of touch, I'm out of the loop, so I need that guy who can do that, and I can just throw in my old expertise, if you want to call it, or my one-liners, and, you know, that's about it.
Now, what can fans expect when they go to an LAW event?
You know what? LAW, it's changed. Like, when I was running it and booking it and all, like, I was trying to go more of that old-school style, that old NWA. My big thing was old UWF. I liked a lot of that old I liked the mix, like, the hardcore and the violence with the wrestling and good moves and stuff like that, where now it's like a whole new thing where it's very, very family oriented. There's not no hardcore stuff. There's nothing like that. It's just literally, it's a lot of fun. It's fun wrestling. There's a lot of, it's very family based. It's great for the kids. So it's a different product, but it's literally, it's a fun night. Like the last show, I remember, I said to Frank afterwards, I said, you know what? It was a fun show. It was just a fun night to sit. And I, you know, I got to sit and watch every match, and I was like, it was just a fun night.
Now, you've been in a lot of locker rooms, and you've seen the best, the worst. How's the professionalism in this locker room?
It's good. It's good. You know, that's the one thing I've heard for many years from a lot of the even bigger names in the business that we brought in. People still say to me, Liberty All-Star Wrestling had the best locker room. That's the one thing they missed, is just the locker room. And, you know, a lot of new guys, a lot of new faces who I don't know. But everybody was really nice, class acts, no drama, no issues. A lot of old faces, which help, you know, keep the boat steady. So it's good. It's nice.
Awesome. Now, this past Saturday, you went to the ECWA Super 8 Women's Cup, right? How was that? Anyone impress you there?
I'll tell you what. It was another fun show. It was the first time I went to where it was like really an all-girl show. I mean, there was a couple guys' matches, but it was their, you know, ECWA has done this Super 8 guys tournament for like 25 years now. And they started doing this girls tournament. I guess this might be the fifth year they did it. So up recently,
me and my older daughter, we've started watching wrestling on Friday nights on Access. We started watching New Japan and WOW. Nice. Yeah. And so I said to her one night, I said, my buddy's promoting a show down in Jersey. It's an all-girls show. You want to go? She's like, yeah, let's go. Let's go. So we went. And I'll tell you what, like, I got to – because I didn't even know the names, but there was a few that really – and I want to put them over because
they didn't – Gabby Ortiz, right, was one?
Gabby Ortiz was in the finals against her name was Quinn something or other. Let me see here. Quinn McKay. But you know what kind of sucks? Like they both had better matches earlier on. The final match, I kind of felt bad because there was a lot of blown spots, which kind of I felt really bad for the two of them. I don't know. It looked like a combination. Like you can tell they were blown up. I mean, it's the third match of them for the night, and some inexperience possibly. You know, I don't know nothing about them. But I'll tell you this: definite match for the girls of the night. I thought was Scarlett Bordeaux and what is her name? Miss Jasmine. That Bordeaux. The first round match they had was match of the night without a doubt. And I was really hoping it was going to be Scarlett and the girl Quinn in the finals. Scarlett had a great second round match as well. I guess she's like the hot indie girl or something.
Yeah,
yeah, she's definite best worker out of the girl bunch.
I gotta ask, babe, when you see blown spots, you know, being a former professional wrestler, do you feel it too?
Yeah, I do.
Like, do you like when I go into that ring and
everyone? I was just like, oh. I feel bad. You know what I mean? Like. I've been there. And you know what it is, too? Like, because it's a whole different style of wrestling now where it's so much – they're trying to do so much. You know what I mean? It's a different style of wrestling now. It's a very – you know, you got to have that quick pace. You got to have spot, where you're not getting really much time to do some gaga or work the crowd or – you know what I mean? Just have fun with it because you got to constantly impress the crowd. Otherwise, you're getting boring. You know what I mean? So it becomes to be too much. But every time I feel bad for them. I do. Yeah.
Now, Bullet, if people want to call in, where do they go?
If you could call on 215-619-7366, you better call on the damage hotline.
You know, and hopefully they can get through. I noticed there was no dial tone. That's why I had to shuffle around there and reset the phone. If anybody was trying to call in and they were getting a busy signal, that's why.
Please call back. Try again.
Hopefully it's working.
Yep. Yep, Abel, you got another question, right?
Before I get to that, yes. If you better call 215-619-7366. So I got a question in my mind, baby. So, what does the future hold for Bay in the wrestling world?
Oreo cookies.
That is complete damage. You know, the funny thing is that the merchandise is online on CompleteDamage.net, and my mother bought hers with the black and red, and I got this that I'm wearing.
I think we need to explain to people, they need to go to CompleteDamage.net, yep. Click on the shirts tab, and you can see where Bullet's wearing his own Completely Damaged shirt today. It's fantastic.
You can get yours,
that's
too.
That's awesome.
Yep. Thank you for calling Complete Damage Radio. And who's on the line?
DJ D. Kooks here, following you guys on Completely Damaged Radio. It's a great day.
Kooks, you're sitting right outside the studio.
Love it. So the phones are working, which is great. Kooks, thanks for calling in, man, and thanks for turning into his 8-hour show coming. 3-hour, sorry, show coming up, man.
Too funny.
All right.
Hey, where's your girl Angela Everwood?
Next week. Yep. She'll be back in the studio doing some live music for us. You know.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Now they he asked about the what's the future hold for you in the professional world.
You know what? From what I can tell right now. Hopefully more conventions and stuff like that's what I really want to do, like the convention scene, a lot more commentating with LAW, and more radio shows and interviews like this. That's the extent of my wrestling career, because you know I'm not getting in the ring anymore. That's never going to happen. I might do a manager gimmick here and there on a rare occasion, but that's it. That's, you know, I'm not looking to, just looking to have some fun and you know, go with it.
Nice, man. Now, Totally German Entertainment, man. How's it been going?
It's going good. It's going good. You know, it was good also, too, to take that month off in February, kind of recharge the batteries, because you get burned out, man. Because,
You're nonstop going. It's call-ins and just...
It's like today. Like, I'm taping an interview at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and then I'm taping an interview at 5:30, and then I'm airing an interview that I taped last week tonight at 8 o'clock. So it's like, it's nonstop every day. Like, this week I have one or two interviews a day lined up throughout the week. And I was just looking at my emails before I had in the parking lot. I'm like, more requests. It's like, it's nonstop. It's nonstop. But it's fun.
And if you guys don't know, you can listen to the replay of Damage Radio on Totally Driven, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And another question. What has been some of your favorite guests you have on so far?
You know what? Today, I can't wait. Finally, we're getting Phil Lewis from LA Guns. That's somebody I've been looking to talk to for years.
Nice.
So that's going to be cool. Last week, we had here was a weird one. 2 weeks ago, I had on an actor, Reese Curio. He's been he was on Entourage and The Walking Dead and some other big-name shows and all. So he gets on, and you know, we start talking, and he's like, you know, I investigated you. And I'm like, what? Like, I get a little bugged out by that. Yeah. And he knew all about me, and a few people have done that. And then they're like, they start asking me questions about wrestling and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool when you're interviewing these, you know, whatever they are. They're some type of celebrity. They have some type of fame, and they're turning around and, like, they know all about you. Which, there was one person. I suffer from what's called sarcoidosis, autoimmune disease. And Matt would probably know her. Oh, my God. Old MTV VJ, Karen Duffy. Duff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She also suffers from it. And I reached out to her like 2 years ago. And I had her on my show. And the first time I had her on my show, she did the same thing. She went deep. Like, she knew where I worked. She knew everything about me. Like, it was kind of creepy, but it was kind of cool. And, you know, we email all the time and text, and we become really good friends. She's, like, really good people. So it's cool like that when stuff like happens.
Now, do you make sure that you have that you know a lot about the person before you have them on? Like, someone that you say, okay, yeah, I can go an hour with this person and talk back and forth?
I sit down. Whoever I'm interviewing, I sit down, and I'll type up one or two pages of questions. Otherwise, I won't do the interview.
So you don't old school, the guy, right?
Yeah. Right. No.
Sorry, guys.
I don't write. No, yeah, yeah. I have to type. Otherwise, I couldn't read it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got to type it.
Nice. Now, Bullet, you got another question, right?
What do you enjoy about most having your own brand, man? Can you please tell what kind of brand is it?
It's a brand that needs to make me money.
Hey, amen on that. For me too, man.
you know, and I told the story last time I was in here. Like, you know, it was a spawn off of Completely Damaged. You know, I flipped it around and made Totally Driven. And now, you know, it's crazy because you get so tied up and busy between, you know, booking interviews, preparing for interviews, doing live shows. I do a live 3 to 4 hour show on Thursday nights. And then trying to fit real work in throughout the week and other hustles I do to make money and trying to do stuff. And then I'm trying to update a website and then, you know, editing audio, uploading audio from shows and this and that. Trying to do all this stuff, it's like kind of hard to really work on the brain. There's like not enough time in a day. Like, I need to clone myself 5 times over, or I need interns or something. I need people to work.
You got your personal things going on, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, in the beginning stages, did you already have specific people in mind that you wanted to be a part, Totally Driven? Or did you like just kind of go off the fly? Kind of Jimmy Jannetty, a personal friend of yours, you know, you wanted him to.
Yeah. You know, there was, you know, it's crazy. And it shows you. Like, through the years, especially when we broke away, like, we did the show for 1 year. We were on the VOC Nation. And when we broke away and did our own network.
Was that worldwide?
We were
worldwide
on the VOC Nation. Now we're, like, intergalactically wide on the Totally Driven Network. So, you come to realize, like, a lot of people want to do what you're doing. They want to do a show. They want to do some type of show. They want to have some type of, you know, whatever you want to call it, like a little celebrity chase of fame or something. But after they start doing it for a few weeks, then they're like, oh, wait a minute, it's work. Like, I actually have to work and do this. Like, at one time, I had 15 shows on my network. And now there's, beside, I do two different shows. I do my live show on Thursdays, and I do, like, all different interview shows that I pre-tape. And then I have a, there's a guy out of New York does a sports show on Saturday mornings. And then I have a guy who does a wrestling sports show on Wednesday nights.
Magic Mike, right?
Magic Mike, yeah. And, but there was at one time 15 shows on the network. It's like,
what keeps you going? Like what is that adrenaline rush that you get through the curtain that you get through doing Totally Driven?
You know what? There totally is. And it's funny because me and my co-host, Nick Wilkinson, Nick's out in Arizona. So, and if Nick was here, things would be so much different because we'd be able to work on things together and do a lot of, like, we wanted to do events and stuff like that. It's just hard myself trying to do everything. But we talk about it and we get kind of like, even going into February when I had everything going on, I'm like, you know what, dude, like maybe this is it. Maybe I should just say like, screw it and we're done. And he's like, you know, he goes, I kind of feel the same way at times. He's like, but I really do enjoy doing a live show on Thursdays. And it's the truth. Like every Thursday we do that live show and we were so jazzed afterwards because it just goes so good, flows so good. Even if we don't even have a guest on there, just the conversation between us, it literally becomes two friends discussing my therapy session or what we're eating, Oreo cookies, you know, whatever it's going on in our lives. You know, yeah. It's, you know, TV, music, we do some fun countdowns and stuff. We just have a ball with it. And it makes, you know, when you walk out of this room every Monday, you have that feeling, you know, and it's kind of hard to replace that feeling.
Definitely. And also, and for me, surrounding yourself with positive people, absolutely, not negative, you know, absolutely, people who started from the bottom, did it because they loved it.
Yeah.
You start, you know, you start your brand.
Yeah.
You do it because you love it. You reach out to people, not because you have a Samsung phone or an iPhone and you can just record.
Right, right,
you
right.
You know, Matt doing the Kiss room. He loves Kiss. Absolutely. He wants to show the world why he loves Kiss. You know,
the doing the show is the fun part. All the other stuff is what's kind of a drag. Like, you know, you're trying to be on social media and you're trying to get people to listen. You got to deal with people that are knuckleheads. And, you know, it's like, that's the only reason really I stay on social media is to promote that people should listen to the Kiss room on Monaco Radio or Music Minds Me. Yeah. But that's kind of a drag, like the whole social media and this and that and the other. But like doing the show, actually being in here doing the show is the best fun part. Yeah.
And if you're not having fun, why are you doing it? Like I watch the videos and I see like the house paint in here when Matt's doing it. Mm-hmm. He's smiling. He's enjoying it.
And believe me, we don't make any money. I lose money doing the Kiss room. You know, it's like, you know, but it's one of those things. I just like doing it. So it's like that's what keeps it fun, really.
Yeah. Oh, you know, we got a call calling. Thank you for calling Completely Damaged Radio. And who's on the line?
Good morning, gentlemen. The doctor is in.
Nice. Hey. It's time for your daily treatment on Damaged Radio.
I'm happy to call in. I felt like you gentlemen talking about social media branding and the hype of being in the moment was a great time to call in and join the discussion.
Well, Dr. Carl Martin, thanks for calling in, man. It was great to see you this past weekend. And I found the bullet, so I blamed you for it, man. But I'm glad the bullet's okay now.
See, I can return him unscathed and ever improved.
So how's everything going, Dr. Martin?
It's going fantastically. The show this Saturday, I would say, was likely one of the best experiences I've ever had in pro wrestling. Mr. Cahoon captured the Monster Factory Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship after a year-long battle. It was a moment that I just I don't think I'll soon forget.
Definitely. And watching the video back that I know a lot of fans put up, seeing your reaction, man, jumping up and down, like, it brings you back into that being a little kid mode, you know, running the ring, you grabbing that title.
Yeah.
Talk about that feeling, man. Like, did you feel a part of that? Because since you manage him and that's your stable?
Absolutely. It's probably my favorite part about the professional wrestling business is seeing these young men and women clawing, fighting, and working their way up to the top. And to see somebody like Geddy Cahoon getting that validation, getting the nod from Danny Cage, from the Monster Factory, from the fans, that he deserved it. It's his time now, and I can attest to the fact that he's ready, and he is going to be something special.
Definitely. Now, Bay, seeing people with this talent and how driven they are to want to succeed, how's that feel for you, knowing that you blood, sweat, and did everything in this ring for these guys to pave the way?
You know, it's kind of cool, especially these younger guys coming up and all. I mean, they really are much more advanced, you know, from what I'm seeing, than what we were going through 30 years ago. And you know, Danny Cage in a Monster Factory, I desperately want to get over there and just see his students and what he's doing. I got such respect for Danny and what he does, and a huge supporter of the Monster Factory and everybody over there, man. It's just amazing what he's doing.
And me going back, Dr. Martin, just being there, man, and getting that love back, man, was all seeing the professionalism there, man. People arriving in suits, people arriving on time, and not being there 10 minutes before their match starts. It was just great to see, and how people were so receptive to me, you know, giving me interviews, man. It got that blood flowing again, man. I loved it.
It's a very special place where everybody that wants to be there, you know, they work hard, and you have to earn your spot there. And the good thing is there are spots. So if you show up in a suit, you're showing that your brand is important to you. If you're showing up early on time, just ready to be a good hand, you know, the dues are never done being paid. And Bay, I want to say I can guarantee that Danny would be happy to have you come into the Monster Factory and check out some of our training, some of our shows. Please, we'll talk, and I'm sure we can arrange something.
Cool. I'm blown away by the fact that guys are showing up in suits, because, you know, first off, I don't own a suit. second off, like, I mean, you know, we would be showing up in Zubaz, you know, 20, 30 years ago. If Zubaz makes a suit, I would own it and I would wear it.
Man,
so
awesome.
That's my speed. I'm still stuck in 1995 at times.
We still have guys that come in with Zubaz and, you know, fanny packs, but, you know, that's their style. And the good thing is you're not going to be persecuted for living your style at the Monster Factory, as long as you own it.
Own it. Thank God. I don't need Danny to persecute me, because suits and me don't work. I eat too many Oreos.
Oh, my God. That's damage.
And Doctor, I got to tell you, man, you are amazing, man. When you get on, I watching the videos back, man, which is going to be on air today, live, what we did this past Saturday, and watching your interviews coming back, man, you get into that character so well, man. It's just like, it's creepy, and I love it, and in such a great way. Like, you're awesome, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and it's such a ride for me. I can't get enough of it. You know, this was our second show in 2 weeks, and this next Saturday I'm going to Virginia, and I can't wait. Just want more and more and more, because it's the best drug I've ever experienced. Walking out through that curtain, and seeing the fans, connecting with kids, I'll tell you, the chance this Saturday, I've never felt anything like that. So I'm chasing that dragon for sure.
Now, Bay, we asked Dr. Martin last time he was in, you know, when you wrestle in front of a new crowd, a new promotion, like for you personally, did you try anything new, knowing you have a different crowd there? And how was it for you?
You know, I always try to stick with what worked for me. And that was the one thing, like, even before I was a Dudley, when I was doing the biker gimmick, you know, working as a heel, the biker thing, like, I got over, especially the one thing I always said here about this area, like, and it's really been proven over years, Philadelphia area is definitely the heart of professional wrestling in this country. I mean, everything's here. And I always felt like if you can get over, whether you're face or heel, doing your gimmick and getting over in this Philadelphia area, you can get over anywhere. So you really don't need to really change, you know, depending on whether it's a kid crowd or something like that. But, you know, do what you're doing. Work your thing. Don't make too many changes. You know what I mean? Unless you're doing a completely different gimmick, where I went from a biker to a fat guy. Well, I was a fat guy either way. But
Now, Dr. Martin, what are you most looking forward to this Saturday at Fusion Wrestling?
Well, I love new competition. I love sharing a locker room with experienced guys. I'm really excited to try to pick the brain of Dutch Mantel. Nice. Getting that access to another manager with that kind of experience. And hopefully he'll check out my match and give me stuff to work on. And of course, being in Virginia, there's Cookout, and I absolutely love Cookout.
You know, that's a good point too, and that's a mistake I made through the years in my wrestling business, where I was always kind of like, you shared a locker room with a lot of these guys, and you have the chance to, you know, pick their brains and ask questions and learn from these guys, even if you get to ask one question. A lot of times, unless they were like holding court in the locker room, like I didn't want to bother them. And that was just, that's just me and my personality. I feel weird like talking to them or asking them, or I feel like I'm bothering them. But you really shouldn't. You're getting that, could be a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Do they want you to bother them?
I think so. I do. I mean, if they don't, like, I think they'll tell you. I mean, they'll be pretty blunt if they don't want to be bothered. I mean, some of them don't want to be bothered, but for the most part, everybody's really pretty receptive. And you know, he's, you know, like you said, he's having that chance with Dutch Mantel. A brain of this business. He's been around for many decades. Take that chance. Talk to them people. Absolutely. Yeah.
I wonder if he did any seminars, because that would be a perfect guy to bring in.
Oh, I'm sure he has.
Yeah, that's a guy that I'd love to work with.
Definitely. Well, Dr. Carl Martin, thanks so much for calling in, man, and giving us your daily dose of treatment today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, gentlemen, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Take care, man.
Can't wait to have you back.
Thank you. Stay damaged.
You know it. See, that's awesome. Like, you know, and like you said, don't be afraid to go up to someone, because the worst thing they can say is no, or they can, you know, pretend they're talking to someone else and go to the bathroom and just leave you there hanging.
But it's like you too when you do your interviews. You know, you have the chance to, you know, talk to people. Unless you ask somebody if they want to do an interview, you're not going to know. If you have the chance to, it's like being the scared kid to ask that girl out. That was always me. I was always scared to ask the girl. I was like, you know, what if she says no? Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
You got to go for it. You're either going to learn or you're going to lose.
It's nerve-wracking.
I'd rather learn.
It's very nerve-wracking.
It is.
You're seeing someone trying to make their money at a convention, mm-hmm. and you're just asking for 2 minutes of their time. And it's just like, you start overthinking. How am I going to present myself in 30 seconds to get this guy to do an interview with me?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to, like, if you're going after like a Hulk Hogan and there's a line through the door, you know, you got to pick and choose your battles. You know, if there's a Chubby Dudley, you're going to have plenty of opportunity to talk to him. Just bring cookies.
But you know, it's funny, because we had a couple where there was no line, but they're looking over your shoulder to see if somebody's going to come up and get their autograph.
Yeah.
Or they'll come up to you. I remember Donnie Allen came up to us and was like, I'll do an interview, man.
Love that.
And those are the interviews that are so much more interesting, because those guys have seen everything.
Yep.
Everyone else is talking in the moment. They're watching the moment. They're seeing everything that's going on. And yeah.
You know, Bay, what are some of your favorite moments in ECW days? That's what I meant, days.
Yep. Ooh, the ECW days. You know, nothing. And I probably said it before, like, nothing can beat just walking that aisle at the ECW Arena in 1995 or 96. It was just...
And that smell, right? what was it? Weed, beer.
I was partaking in adding to that smell, so guilty. Damaged.
That is completely damaged. Yeah,
it was completely damaged times, but they were such fun times. And it was truly... I mean, magic. It was magic moments, and history was being made. And I knew whether either side of the curtain I was on, those moments were magic in history. And I was like, I'm just happy to be a part. It didn't matter how small my part was. My part was there, and it's in the history books, and can never thank whoever got me there more than, you know, just very thankful for it all.
Do you ever watch your old matches?
I haven't. No. No.
No interest?
Just search your name on the network.
You know what? People have sent me like screenshots and stuff like that when it pops on. I haven't seen or heard nothing in a while. And any, you know, any matches I do have, they're on like old VHS tapes in my basement somewhere. And yeah, I just don't feel like digging them out.
You ever feel like going to the 3D Academy and checking that out and see if they still remember you and reminiscing maybe?
I would love, you know, it's funny because my best friend Anthony, he's a tattoo artist at Extreme Ink in Westchester, PA. And the guy that owns the shop, Keith, is a big wrestling fan. And last time I was there, it was right around Thanksgiving. It was right before Thanksgiving. Keith was like, yo, your brother was talking about you. And I'm like, I don't got no freaking brother. What are you talking about?
Porter?
Yeah, right?
You know what?
And he goes, Bubba. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, on Bubba's radio show. Here, Bubba's got a show on Sirius XM. Yeah. And a caller called and said, hey, are you having Chubby Dudley over for Thanksgiving dinner? And Bubba was like, that guy died, and hung up the phone.
Oh.
I was like, what?
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Here
yeah.
we go again.
Yeah. Oh,
jeez.
You know, what's funny is that last Saturday, me and my old man, we were heading to Elizabethtown, and we passed the sign of the exit of Westchester and Pottstown. And because, since we were heading to Elizabethtown for the event, which is in Elizabethtown, and we had a great time, and since I had to move myself around, and then it just happened last Saturday, I had a great weekend.
That's great, man. Nice. A lot of travel, a lot of, you know. Then this is a kind of like a group conversation I want to ask you guys. In your opinion, for Bay, Matt, and Bullet, who embodied, what ECW wrestler embodied what ECW meant to the fans and to the business?
You know, it's funny. I just posted this the other day on my Chubby Dudley page on Facebook. Somebody had put up the ECW logo, and who did you feel embodied ECW when you look at the logo? And my initial thing was Sandman, just because, I mean, he was Sandman. He was Billy extreme. Yeah. He was about, you know, he wasn't about wrestling. He was just, he was about blood, guts, and having a good time.
Yeah.
And taking it to the extreme. And that's what ECW was. And then another one that I didn't even think of off the bat, but I was like, yeah, that one too. And it's Sabu. He was another one. Sabu took it to the extreme. And, you know, when you think of Sabu, you think of, again, the extreme, the blood, the barbed wire. So those were the guys that when I look at the logo, those are the two off the bat I think of.
How about you, Matt?
You know, it's funny, when I would start catching those, the one that really, the two that really caught my eye, I always was a fan of Taz and Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
You know, I think both of them really, because they were, you know, and you figure Taz was coming out to Kiss, and that was his theme song, who was War Machine. So right off the bat, you were like, well, this guy looks great. And he was the whole unstoppable kind of machine, you know. And Rob Van Dam, the way he would hop, like, from all the way off the turnbuckle into the crowd.
Yeah.
And you're like, this WWF was not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me say this, too. When you say that, that's the one thing, like, I don't have WWE Network. But I know now that when they replayed those old shows, they took all that music.
Yeah, right.
It takes away from everything. It destroys my. I can't watch it now because those songs were so important. That War Machine. I'm sorry, but all the respect in the world to Taz. That helped make Taz be even more, you know, death defying, or you know what I mean, like angry, mean suplex machine. Yeah. That made Taz's whole gimmick. Just like Rob Van Dam, Pantera, Walk. I mean, stuff like that.
Sandman's music.
Sandman, without the Enter Sandman song and a 7-minute entrance, the gimmick, it don't work.
What was longer, his match or the entrance?
The entrance. The entrance. It just the whole R. And same with the Dudleys early on with Highway to Hell. That whole entrance was such an important, vital part of the wrestling business and the entrance songs. And you see that now a lot with WWE, because they get away, they can use some of these bigger songs or whatever, or there are songs that they make for their wrestlers become, you know, iconic songs.
Yeah.
So it just shows how the two and two are so important together.
And ECW was using a video toaster to edit a lot of that stuff, which to me, because that's what I was using at the time. So like, I knew exactly that glass, you know, crash effect and all that stuff. Hey, they're using a video toaster. And I don't know, that always really made me happy.
Yeah, for me, it's depending on what you're looking for. If you're looking for the heart, it's Tommy Dreamer. Yeah. Tommy Dreamer brought that heart.
Agreed.
He brought it. If you're looking for blood and all that, you're looking at like New Jack.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for just a storyline is Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman. May I have another with the Singapore King?
Raven.
Raven.
Yeah. When you go with storyline or brains, Raven. Yeah.
That match where Raven slides in, gets the pin, and he and Dreamer are now the tag team champs. And Dreamer's like, what? And it's... And the crowd's chanting for Raven.
I got that's chills. Because I'm picturing it in my head. I got chills.
Like, that, I think that's like one of the great ECW moments because it seems so off the cuff. Like, and you, like now, and it's what we've been talking about a lot with social media, that would have already been leaked. Everybody would have known, but you never saw it coming.
Yeah.
And when he comes sliding in and the crowd goes bananas, I think you can't really recreate that kind of stuff now.
Do you think ECW would have had the same hype if social media was like it was today? Would it help or hurt? That's what we talked about last week, like Matt said. Yeah.
You know, it's weird because the internet was literally just starting at that time.
The dial-up AOL,
I didn't have a computer until 5 years afterwards. Like, it was such a new thing, a new technology. And I remember saying to Richards, because Richards was always into that stuff. I'm like, what is this? Like, what's Prodigy?
Right.
Yeah. What is
Prodigy
this stuff?
Prodigy Master Service.
Yeah. And like, there was some smart marks who were into it, and they were, like, starting to do these little fan conventions through the internet, but there wasn't social media at the time, but it was like a whole nother world. But I agreed with the way social media is, and it's just taken everything so people know too much now.
Right.
You couldn't, I mean, a lot of stuff that happened in ECW, like we didn't know, we kept it quiet from each other. There was many surprised faces when you were sitting back there watching that monitor.
Yeah.
You know, there was magic moments.
You never knew who would show up, like Hawk, right. Hawk and Animal, like, you know,
exactly. So
anyone, Timmy Superfly Snuka back in the early days.
Yeah,
really. Now, the man who jumped off the steel cage, landed off to Don Morocco back in '83, Madison Square Garden.
And Morocco, absolutely. What did he tell us? Oh, you know what? We saw Snuka flying off that stage. Yep.
You know, it's funny, we talk a lot about that, but anytime when we go out and we would interview those legends, and you realize that they are now talking into our camera.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like they had done that gimmick or that interview for the WWF or ECW or WWE or WCW, and now they were talking into our camera. And I always thought those are the ones that really, in my mind, the interviews that we've done, they always stick with you, where you go like, you know, like when Snuka would be cutting a promo into the camera, you go, hey, Jimmy Superfly.
And pointing his,
like, right.
Hey, brother.
Look, brother.
Yeah. That's why I always wanted to know, Matt, because, like, you've been on this journey for so as long as I have, you know, doing this. Behind the camera, man, you see it all. I'm in the moment, like, remembering half of it because I'm still nervous. You see every person we interview, man. What's it like, you know, being a fan and then actually being right next to them?
Well, I think that's what makes it, is that as a fan, you know, you remember who were the ones that were your favorites, and now they're doing their gimmick into your camera, which I always think is pretty amazing. The you know, but then again, when you got some of these young people that are, like, they're learning promos and things like that, it's fun to see them emerge.
Yeah.
You know, and one of my favorites really was always that one, that kind of women's division one that we went to. There was a hurricane coming or whatever. Remember that? It was like Morgan and Amy Lee.
They was
and
with us.
Cindy Rogers. And they, remember that one?
Yeah.
That was so much fun because we had such a good time that day. But they were like, it was like sisters getting together. They seemed so happy to see each other that just the fact that they would come in and talk to us was like kind of a bonus. You know, it really... things like that. I think that was a fun one that day.
Well,
really.
It's funny because I'm doing this convention in June up at the Rhode Island, New England Fan Fest. And I didn't even realize till the other night, I'm sitting there at the ECWA show and my wife flips over her phone and says, did you see this? And they added Manny, the Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez. And I worked an indie show at Manny when I was still doing the biker gimmick. And after the show, we had to go to this little deli to meet with the promoter to get paid. And it was a deli and they served beer. So we were sitting there drinking beer and, which I love salami. Manny got a container of hunks of salami. We're eating salami, drinking beer. And we go outside to do whatever. And somebody had a convertible Cadillac outside. And Manny, like, just like urinated into the guy's Cadillac. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm just like, oh my. So that's like my memory of Manny Fernandez. And I've told the story to like so many people, my wife included. And my wife's like, you're going to ask him if he's going to go in somebody's Cadillac? I'm like, I'm definitely going to ask him if he remembers it.
Now, was your wife like a supporter from day one from ECW and your journey?
That's how I met my wife. She was working the merch. She was selling shirts and stuff like that. So that's where we met, and you know, we were friends for about a year before we got together.
And seeing how supportive she is of you with your new journey of Totally Driven Entertainment, it's awesome to see, man.
She's more supportive of me with Totally Driven than she is with me in the wrestling business. The wrestling business.
You can't get hurt in the radio business.
Well,
you know?
The wrestling business was known in my house as the Antichrist for many years.
And we have a special guest here today, and he had a great time. It's Josh Sheeranoff in the building.
Mr. Mako's in the building.
Hey, guys. Yep. How's it going?
And we only got a minute left, but we had to bring him in. So says Sheeranoff. Josh, you got a big announcement, right? I think you should start the running of the Facebook now, man. And
what's that?
Fight TV.
Oh, yeah. My show has been that I film here at Montgomery County Community College, So Says Sheeranoff, has been picked up for a full season.
That's awesome.
Year. Yeah.
Ooh. That's awesome, man. Big things happening.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's really all really thanks to you guys for setting this up for me. Yeah.
It's all about networking and looking out for each other, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry that I'm going to have to listen back to this because I just came in here. I'm going to have
Mr.
to listen.
Monto,
I know. I caught the end of your story, and I'm going to have to I'm gonna have to listen to the playback here to listen to the whole thing. It sounded
let fans
like I missed
know,
something interesting.
Let fans know the next So Says Sheeranoff taping.
We will be taping here in the... Advanced Technology Building. Advanced Technology Building. We'll be recording here in the Advanced Technology Building on April 10th.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Bay, if people want to follow you in your journey, man, where can they go?
Social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Look for Bay Ragney. Look for Chubby Dudley or Totally Driven Entertainment or Radio.
Guys, support everybody. Support the Kiss Room, Totally Driven Radio Entertainment, So Says Sheeranoff, and of course, Damage Radio.
If you want to listen to CompleteDamage.net, if you can listen to it every Monday's mornings, also, you can get yourself merchandise just like I have one now, and my mom has one. And because I'm wearing this, because I graduated high school back in 5 years ago.
It's a hot item, man. Hot item, Scott. Remember, don't keep it nice and neat. Keep it completely damaged on mockeradio.com where music minds meet.
Woo!
Completely damaged!
Did you know that 1 in 12 college students makes a suicide plan, and for every suicide, there have actually been 25 other attempts? Did you know that suicide is the second leading cause of death among 20 to 24-year-olds? But with help comes hope. You are not alone. If you or a friend is considering suicide, talk to someone. Call the National Suicide Hotline today at 1-800-273-8255. This important public service message is brought to you by Montgomery County's Suicide Prevention Task Force and Monco Radio.